Today's Bible reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 22, and it's on page 933 of the Standard Print Pew Bibles. Okay. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be in false witness about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive.
Thanks, Charlene. Thanks for inviting me here to speak here again. It's a great pleasure. I trust you found your way here all right this evening. It's been a bit cold, and being in here with the air conditioning is quite nice. What Charlene just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's at the very core of Christian faith. The resurrection of Jesus is definitive evidence for his claim to be the Son of God. Jesus offers this resurrection to us also, which is a lasting resurrection. If this is something you've put faith in, how does this change the decisions that you make day to day? At some stage of our lives, we may find that we have to make hard decisions. But do we choose to do what's honourable and is of virtue, of high moral standard, or do we choose that which is self-serving? In this letter to the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul explains the resurrection of Jesus and what it means for us. But before we look more at what Paul has to say, I'll just start with a quick word of prayer. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that we can come to this church here this evening and learn from your word, that we can read through the word of the Apostle Paul and the theology that he outlines in regard to the resurrection of your Son who came to save us from our sins. Amen. Well, the resurrection of the dead is something we might find in films where zombies are running rampant trying to eat people, possibly because they're jealous of the fine bodies that the other people have as compared to their rotting bodies. Or we might read about it in novels like Pet Sematary, which is by Stephen King, where resurrection is something that is greatly sought after because of loss of loved ones who've passed away, and it's found that there's a way to revive them, bring them back from the dead, if only we could, if we had that power. But we see in Pet Sematary the resurrection of the dead here doesn't quite go as planned. Something's not quite right, or something's off. And we see this most clearly in all the zombie films that we might see, that this type of resurrection's not quite right. Something's wrong there. The resurrection that Paul talks about here for Jesus is quite different to what we might consider with the resurrection of the dead as we see in films. It's a resurrection that is described to be lasting. It's different in this regard. From 1 Corinthians verse 15 in 12 we read, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we have found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he has raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. Here Paul is talking about the resurrection of not just Christ, but of all. Continuing on from verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Many from the church of Corinth had doubts and questions about the claims of the resurrection of Jesus. And no doubt, Paul explains to them that the resurrection is at the core of hope through faith. The resurrection of anyone today, at least in my experience, in the experience of my life, would be completely extraordinary. That would be something. And I expect that the experience of the people in the church of Corinth was the same. Painfully, though, we may wish for such things, for when those who we love are no longer with us, we would choose to see it otherwise. I think, however, that we know our capacity to perform such a miracle, even if it were possible with the greatest advance of modern medicine and science, would not quite be right, unnatural even, much like the obviously monstrous result of Frankenstein's monster, or more subtly that of Pet Sematary. This is where the resurrection that Paul describes to the church of Corinth is quite different. Reading on from verse 20, we see, But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Reading this here, we think back, but hang on, hasn't Jesus already brought some back from the dead in his time and ministry as part of the miracles that he performed? We read of this in Luke's Gospel, where Jesus raises a widow's son. I'll just read to you from chapter 7, verse 14. Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, Young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Or even in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, or Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, where Jesus instructs the 12 apostles to go, and amongst other miracles, he also instructs them to raise the dead. Why then is the resurrection of Jesus different? And how so is it the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep? Paul says this twice, this being one of those two, where he says that Jesus' resurrection is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Paul explains that Jesus' resurrection is quite unique in that it is the first fruits. In Romans chapter 6, verse 9, he gives us a bit more detail, where he says, For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. This is what we were singing in the song of the Lion versus the Lamb, where the blood of Jesus is said to have broken the chains. It's the chains of death that we're singing about. Luke also explains this from the Old Testament, from Acts chapter 2, verse 24. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. This is profoundly different to resurrection of the dead in terms of many films that we've seen, or in things such as Pet Sematary. Rather than being unnatural, it's a resurrection of the dead that's lasting. and that continues to this day. Jesus being the first fruits is the first of those who has been resurrected lastingly and continues to be so. This was done that we could pin our hopes on what God has promised to us. This promise was made in the form of a covenant through Jesus' blood, however. And a covenant is an agreement as well. The resurrection of Jesus is lasting, and it is the hope by which Christians place their faith in. To be faith, however, it is to be lived out, and so in knowing that the dead are raised, that we are to be lasting in God's kingdom, we learn not to act without virtue or lack of morality, as the consequences of doing so are lasting. Paul continues on from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 29 also to say, "Now if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day, yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." It is in the resurrection of the dead, as shown by the resurrection of Jesus, that our hope is found. By this hope we know that good deeds are indeed lasting, and that those actions of moral virtue do reflect God's glory. They are the hallmark of the work of God. I'll just pray to this end. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son to die for us, that the sin of this world had to be atoned for, and that your Son willingly gave his life and suffered at the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, for his resurrection, the proof that we can pin our hopes in your lasting promise that he is the first fruits of the harvest to come. In Jesus' name, amen.